Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Hi there, welcome along to this Racing Postcast. It's Monday the 31st of May, beautiful bank holiday weekend, great weather. I'm Maddie Plough. Today I'm joined by Tom Collins, and also Josh Stacey, who's known elsewhere for his action at the Racing Post, has joined us for his debut, I believe, on this Monday show. So welcome, Josh and TC. Good to have you back. Now, admittedly, it was something of a quiet weekend, but we have the best action coming up this weekend. We've got the Derby, we've got the Oaks, also the Coronation Cup, which is sure to be a classic. But there was Group 1 action just on Sunday, and that was with Scaletti. He's a real top-notcher, this horse. So we're going to talk about him as well as the action closer to home on Saturday throughout the next 35 minutes or so. Hopefully we'll get some forward-thinking tips for you and the naps of the week as well. So let's start off with what was probably for many the feature event of the weekend, and that was the John of Gaunt Stakes, the Group 3 over 7 furlongs at Haydock. It was won in fairly impressive style by Kinross for Frankie Dettori, that man again, and Rafe Beckett. He stamped his class on the field, really. This was an interesting performance because there wasn't a standout horse necessarily on form. Safe Voyage, very, very disappointing again, TC. He was your fancy, but what did you make of the winner? Because this was more like something we thought he could do back in his juvenile and early three-year-old days.
Yeah, he's always been a horse of considerable promise, hasn't he? Ever since he bolted up on Good to Soft on debut at Newmarket. A race which worked out really well, and it's been a bit disappointing to see what Kinross has done since. Obviously, the second in that race was Raib, who's rated 98. Third was Finest Sound, rated 97. 108 rated Vatican City, and two other subsequent winners were back in the field on Kinross's debut when he won. Ever since then, he's kind of been labelled as a bit of a disappointment. Most of his two-year-old campaign and three-year-old campaign, although he was contesting Group 1s and running, achieving RPRs in the lower hundreds on a regular basis. However, he showed what he could do last October in the Hyde Stakes at Kempton. He ran down subsequent all-weather championship mile winner, Kuzam, that day, which isn't a... you shouldn't take that lightly. Like, Kuzam, that was his ideal course and distance, and Kinross still ran him down. He's had a break since a trip to Maidan. Good to soft conditions lit right up his street, and I think Frankie's tactical nous clearly helped. Got a gap at a crucial stage 2 furlongs out. Kinross was the fifth four-year-old to win the race in the last 8 years. He posted a time 0.69 seconds quicker than when the race was last run on Good to Soft in 2014, when it was won by 33-1 Rag Penitent. I was pretty impressed. I think the Prix de la Forêt is the right spot for him. If he's ever going to win a Group 1, it'll probably be in that race. Conditions will be right. Ascot's potentially a bit quick for him. But yeah, I was impressed.
And what about, I mean, given this horse is now, he's been gelded for one, which could be a key contributor. And he's also owned now by Mark Chan, who's Hong Kong based. This horse strikes me as the sort of type that could go travelling and do quite well, given that he seems to handle a lot of different types of ground. He's proven on the Kempton All Weather Circuit, and he has got that change of pace. What do you think?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, as you say, with the owner, Mark Chan, you couldn't rule out an international campaign with him. He went over to Maidan and struggled in a couple of Group 2s behind Lord Glitters and Zakuski. I mean, the ground's obviously too quick for him, I think, in Dubai. He's a bit of a hard one because you don't get testing conditions many other places, because these international campaigns, you know, come at Hong Kong, ever in Dubai, Australia as well. And they always tend to run on quick ground, whereas he seems to need a little bit of give underfoot. But he's clearly a talented horse. And if he runs on all weather, I'd be more interested in him than if he runs on turf.
Yeah, his ability on the softer going could come from his dam, Cadley House, by Selkirk. So that would explain that. Josh, it was another tour de force for Frankie, as TC's touched on tactically. What do you see next for this horse?
It's interesting. I think Tom's nailed it. He's clearly got plenty of talent. He just doesn't show it enough. Frankie's a big man for the big occasion. I thought the step down to 7 furlong worked. Whether the foray is a step too far, I'd like to see him back this up again before then, maybe a couple of times before then. You know, he had the race wrapped up a long way from home. Just I have my doubts whether he's a Group 1 horse. I'm not sure he's beaten a Group 1 field there or any horses that are going to be progressing into Group 1 horses. So I'm not too sure.
Okay, that's fair. I think we're going to temper our enthusiasm slightly then with King Ross. Now, one of the races that we're going to talk about a bit going forward, because there's some intertwining form lines here, is the Wokingham. King's Lynn won the Achilles Stakes. Now, he could go for the King's Stand. He's a best price 20-1 for that race, 10-1 for the Wokingham. Punchbowl Flyer, who won the handicap earlier on in the card, is a 33-1 chance for the Wokingham. But Josh, you like another horse for that race. Tell us who it is and tell us more.
Yeah, Punchbowl Flyer was impressive and it was a canny ride from Charles Bishop. But I thought the race was all about Bielsa. Travelled so well, picked up when asked, stayed right to the line and beat the group of eight on the near side. He is entered in the Wokingham at Royal Ascot and his likely race is a six-year-old, but he's only had 13 runs, so could be open to improvement. The only downside, he was beaten heavily in the race last year when favourite, but I think from then he may have matured through experience, and I think a really well-run sixth furlong to be right up his street, and maybe he could go back the year after and make amends.
Okay, around the sort of 14-12-1 mark for Bielsa for the Wokingham. TC, I'm not sure he's a horse I'd want to be putting all my money on, though, because he doesn't often deliver. And although he was unlucky here, as Josh said, he did a lot right, but doesn't always fall his way, does it?
No, he looked a bit unlucky not to get up, I thought. He came with a winning run, but just got beat by Punchbowl Flyer, who was given a canny ride over the far side, sticking to the rail. He loves giving the ground that horse and backed up his Windsor success. He can hang as well, which was why it was such a great ride. But yes, Bielsa, sixth time he's been beaten as favourite. He comes with health warnings, but he does have plenty of talent. It's a race where I was kind of focusing on Bernardo O'Reilly, who was my selection in the punting club, our new Saturday piece. On the app and on the website. He was eye-catching back in third. He's down to a winnable mark for Richard Spencer. He just didn't get the clearest of passages, though I am very worried that was the day to catch Bernardo O'Reilly. Likely next time he's going to go off a shorter price.
Okay, and which race would you aim King's Lynn at? Because we haven't seen Batash yet. He's reportedly on track for the King's Stand, so I'm not sure he'll be able to match him, but it's not a very deep division, this, is it?
No, I would definitely go towards the Wokingham with him. I really like the way he moved into the race, King's Lynn. Through the centre of the track, there was pace far side. Somehow Tarbouche led that field. No idea how that happened. He led Al Astronaut, Ornate, Zargun and the likes. I would definitely go to the Wokingham with King's Lynn. He will be favourite on the day. He would have a great chance of giving the Queen a royal winner at Royal Ascot as well. I think the King's Stand is a much tougher test, and not only does he face the likes of Batash in that race, but Glass Slippers is likely to return, Breeders' Cup winner. Winter Power, who is so impressive at York as well, is in that field. So, yeah, it'd be the Wokingham for me.
Okay, it's interesting you mentioned the punting club there. Me and Robbie were so close with Njord in the John of Gaunt, 11-1 second. Not quite, but we're getting closer. So keep your eye on the punting club on the Racing Post app to see our selections for the weekend and have a bit of banter between us as well, as we like to do sometimes. Now, we also had La Lune. She was a really good winner on the same Haydock card, the Pinnacle Stakes, Group 3 over a mile and a half. Likeable horse, perhaps the Lancashire Oaks could be where she's going next. But you touched upon a trainer there, and particularly one of his horses, TC, in Winter Power. Now, I want to talk about Tim Easterby, because he's a fantastic trainer of sprinters. He has Winter Power. He also has Art Power in the Diamond Jubilee over 6, Winter Power in the King's Stand over 5. But he's also got a really nice horse, again, talking about the Wokingham, who could step up to their level, and that was Boardman at Chester. I thought this was a really, really dominant performance, and I'd be very surprised if this horse wasn't capable of stepping up again on this. Travelled very strongly under Rob Hornby and ultimately delivered really cosily in what was quite a competitive field. So I'm going to give this horse a really positive mention. But Josh, you obviously prefer Bielsa for a race like the Wokingham. Why do you not quite think Boardman's up to that?
It was great seeing him make it a treble, and it's great seeing horses go on week on win sequences. And it's crazy to think that he was rated 75 just 21 days or 22 days ago. Now he's one off 90. I'm just not convinced he's got the class. I think 90 might be, or 90 is not his ceiling, but he'll be probably rated in the high 90s now. I think that might be his ceiling, whether there's horses like Bielsa that may be slightly more well-treated in a race like the Wokingham.
Fair enough. TC, your verdict? Am I talking rubbish, or do you think he could go on again, Boardman?
He's a real sharp improver, isn't he, Boardman, for Tim Easterby? He's having a great season at the moment. He's currently striking at 12%, but the end of last month, he was firing on all cylinders with his handicappers and his juvenile runners. Boardman's been an interesting sort. He didn't show much for Joe Tweet in 2020, and previously was with Pascal Barry. He finished sixth length second to Persian King, who won the Moulin and the French 2000 Guineas back in his... two-year-old season. Boardman's definitely improving this year. I think he prefers giving the ground. I know he won at York on good two runs back, but that's just because he was ridiculously well handicapped off a mark of 80, achieved an RPR of 99 that day. You rarely see a horse at Chester travel that well in behind the pace. It looked like Rob Hornby, who, by the way, is a brilliant jockey, and it's great to see him back with a couple of winners. It was weird just seeing Rob Hornby travel so nicely in behind the speed. Edge to Love, I thought, was given a great ride out in front by Richard Kingscote, had the race at his mercy, and Boardman just ran past him. I have a bit of a worry about him, though, with his finishing effort off higher marks. He seems like a smooth traveller, but he didn't find as much as I anticipated once he came alongside Edge to Love. So I'm just going to be a bit wary with that moving forward off an even higher mark now.
Okay, so a similar sort of train of thought to Josh. And talking of the Wokingham, last year's winner, Hey Jonesy, was in that aforementioned race, finishing third. That was a good effort from him, but he's very hit or miss. So I think it'd be a very big ask for him to go and repeat the dose 12 months on. Now let's talk about a bit more of a human interest story again at Chester. In Uber Cool, this horse who was running for the first time in 959 days in the 1 mile, 5.5 furlong Mental Health UK handicap. And actually a very aptly named race, because Robert Tart was returning after three or so years out of the saddle, citing mental health issues, depression, anxiety. And he was riding for the first time for Jane Chapel Heim. And this horse won really impressively. I spoke to Robert after he won, and he really was on cloud nine. His family was there to see it. And you know, he's clearly dealt with a lot of demons as his career has gone on. You know, he rode the likes of Stradivarius for John Gosden, so he's no sort of stranger to top class horses. But Jane as well wasn't surprised by this success. The horse a real fan's favourite, and she thinks he could well come back for a Chester Cup next year. Josh, I just want to change tack slightly here. I mean, you have a very close relationship with Charlie Post, who obviously rode so well over jumps. But talking about jockeys and talking about how the game plays with their mental health and things like that, I mean, this was great to see Robert back. But it's a very demanding game, isn't it? And it asks different questions of its participants at different stages of their careers.
I completely agree. I think the guys at the highest level, not only is it a real test of their strength with making weight, etc., they almost have it slightly easier because they know they're going to be sitting on the best horses every weekend. Whether you have the horses or the jockeys maybe further down in the weighing room that struggle for these big rides and struggle for the big occasions and the pressures that come with that. I was speaking to Rory Cleary about Max Winnie winning the Irish 2000 Guineas in the week, and he said that one race would have he'd have earned more money off that one racing prize money than a whole season. So it's not only just the pressure of sitting on a good horse, it's what happens after that and how that can benefit you. So yeah, brilliant story. And if you even talk about the horse itself, progressive before injury, and yeah, great to see that he's retained his ability.
Indeed. I think Jane Chapel Heim does remarkably well with the horses she gets, TC. I mean, she's got some really exciting horses this year. Saffron Beach we'll touch upon later. And also the likes of, I can't remember the name of the horse, the one that won the King Charles Stakes at Newmarket. Remind me, TC.
Well, you throw me a curveball there, haven't you? Because my Belosa. Head's all over the place. Belosa, yes. Belosa. I tell you what, I don't know how I forgot Belosa, because she's one of the fillies I've been keeping my eye on so far this year. She's been really impressive, and she'll be even more impressive when she goes to a different track. Yeah, Jane Chapel Heim is largely unthought of with her horses. Like, her horses always go for a bigger price. We mentioned in the punting club, again, another mention, someone asked a question about whether horses go off shorter prices because of connections and not their ability or their form that we've seen so far. And it's certainly the case with some trainers, like Sir Roger Verrin, as I mentioned in the piece. But Jane Chapel Heim's horses always seem to be underbet, always go off at much bigger price than they should. And it's just another great training performance from her, isn't it, with Ubercool? 959 days off the track, as you said. It was the best news story of the weekend. Robert Tart coming back, Ubercool coming back, teaming up to produce such a brilliant performance. A great ride, I have to say, as well, from Robert Tart, who switched Ubercool out at a crucial stage. Sometimes you see jockeys who ride at Chester at every meeting not be able to do such great tactical pieces of riding. And Tart just moved Ubercool out. He picked up very nicely under pressure. And he looks a really nice horse going forward. And I really hope that Robert Tart, who said that this was his career highlight, yet he's already, as you said, ridden Stradivarius and won a Group 2 in his career. I hope he can go forward from this and win some big races, because he definitely deserves it.
Yeah, it sounds like his head's certainly in the right place now, with Jane giving him the support. So hopefully that's a relationship we can see blossom over the coming months. Now, before we move on to Group 1 action, both reviewing and previewing, any horses to add to the notebook from this weekend, TC? I'll let you go first.
Yes, there are. I've got three for you. Right. So the first is Quickthorn. I thought it was very impressive in the opener at Haydock. He's a son of Nathaniel, travelled all over his field, quick and clear, really nicely. He looked a push button ride as well for a stayer, which you don't see too often. Won by 8.5 lengths under Oisin Murphy. He just seems to be maturing really well now. He was a very babyish horse early in his career. He beat some useful yardsticks on Saturday. Clearly doesn't mind rain, soft and ground. I think he could easily prove to be a group horse over those kind of staying trips in the future. And he's with the right man in Hughie Morrison. And also, I covered Foss Lass in the Sky Sports Racing Studio on Saturday night. So it's unlike me, but I'm going to do it. There's two impressive summer jumpers.
Here we go.
Wow.
I know you didn't think you'd hear the day, but yeah,
I'm waiting for this.
Well, I mean, they were pretty obvious horses to pick out. They're both one on the card. The first is Jemima P, who bolted up under Ben Jones for Emma Lavelle. Really impressed with the performance from this mare. It was only her ninth start, third victory. I think she's going to be better going right-handed because she jumps a little bit out to her right at her fences. But I was really impressed. She's well handicapped. And talking about well handicapped horses as well, Wicked West, another nice acquisition for Dr. Richard Newland, who I cannot praise enough. Like, he's incredible with his purchases with horses in training already. He picked up this horse, Wicked West, from Chris McSharry's stable. He showed some form in behind in a couple of novice hurdles, but really bolted up on his first start for the yard. I know he's rated 109. I'm going to say he ran off the mark of 109, but obviously it was a novice hurdle. The handicap is not going to put him up too much for that victory, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know, 7-8 pounds. I know he won by miles, but the form in behind looks a bit ropey. He can rack up some notable successes this summer. Put Wicked West in your tracker. He's the horse that's likely to go towards market raising and the like for these big targets.
Okay, I hope he hasn't nicked any of your horses, Josh. Take it away.
The one that I quite liked was in the Pinnacle at Haydock. Not the winner, Laloon, who was impressive. I think that's the best performance we've seen from her so far. And she's quite an interesting story, actually. She was unsold for 2,000 guineas at Taps in December 2016. So that was a shrewd buy. I'd say she'd be worth a bit more than that now. But the one that I like is Oriental Mystique, who was eye-catching in third, rallied late, was favourite. I think people expected him to win. He's been campaigned differently. But I know last year he went to Prix de Malorais. At the end of June or the start of July, I've not got the best French pronunciation. Maybe if he was to go back there at the end of the month, he'd have a good chance.
Chi, Oriental Mystique, clearly race. Yeah, out of Madame Chiang, the brilliant Kirsten Rousing horse, she did very well on soft ground. Yeah, Oriental Mystique.
I think with Oriental Mystique, she was also not given the best ride. She looked a stayer to me, and she just didn't go for it. Oisin Murphy didn't push her out early enough to really challenge Laloon and Cabaletta. I think she'll definitely improve on that as well. And it was interesting that Kirsten Rousing, who has such a brilliant breeding, abilities to produce
empire.
To produce these staying fillies. She relied on Oriental Mystique in this race. She obviously thought she was well up to Group 3 standards. She had the likes of Alpinista and Alba Flora in the entry stage as well. So I think the connections think Oriental Mystique is well up to winning at that grade, and I'll be with Josh in following her in the future.
Yeah, seems like the sort of filly who could pick up some more black type in France, particularly if they get soft ground, maybe Oriental Mystique. So keep an eye on her going forward. Now we're going to talk about the action on Sunday. There was a Group 1 fare with the Prix d'Espahan and some British interest with the likes of Mike Oberon and Tilsit, but they were forced to play second fiddle to Jerome Rainer's Scaletti. This horse, who's been well-travelled, was second in the Champion Stakes to Adabe last year and has racked up two very nice performances so far this season. And he went in again in this Prix d'Espahan, winning under Gerald Mosse, just the six runners. But it was a really interesting contest. Victor Ludorum in behind, as well as those two runners that I mentioned from the yards of Charlie Hills and William Haggis. This was quite an unbelievable performance, actually, because Scaletti was given a lot to do. And it wasn't until very late on in the piece when he found his turn of foot and won eventually by head from Tilsit, and a short neck back to Mike Oberon in third. Two career bests from those horses. But just the way in which Scaletti does it, he's very much a French-style horse in that he has this striking turn of foot in the closing stages. Very good on soft and heavy ground. That probably helped him. Just good to soft yesterday. I mean, the trainer seems very keen that he's going to go back to the Champion Stakes and make it his aim to reverse that defeat to Adabe last year. What chance would you give him, TC? Because this is a real top-notcher. He's one of the best, arguably one of the best Group 1 horses in Europe right now.
Yeah, he's just a winner, isn't he? That's how you describe Scaletti. He's won 15 of his 20 races. That's an unbelievable 75% strike rate. He won again on Sunday, despite the ground not being far too quick for him, I think. He needs a bit of a bog, Scaletti, to show his best. But he's just got so much ability that he can do it on any type of ground. Though we do have to mention the elephant in the room, which is the fact that Gerald Mosse got a big whip ban. I think it was 16 days. Yeah, Scaletti needed all the encouragement as well to get there. I don't know where you guys stand on this, but to me, it literally is cheating. I don't know what would have happened if Mosse stuck to the whip requirements. I would assume that Scaletti wouldn't have got up, it's a bit of a talking point, because obviously you don't want horses winning when the jockeys are cheating. However, he was the best horse in the race. I think the rules maybe need a bit of work. I don't think disqualifying a horse is fair, but the result was basically ended up this way because Mosse used the whip more than he should have. The race was also weakened by the absence of the Revenant, who wasn't, who didn't have the ground, did he? It wasn't a proper Group 1 in who was actually in the field, but in the name it was, and Scaletti produced the goods at the end. I think if the rain comes again on Champions Day, as it always seems to, especially last year, then he has a great chance of avenging his defeat in the Champion Stakes. However, I'm just a bit wary that he needs so much encouragement over this trip. I think he'll be better over a mile and a half. I'd love to see him over a mile and a half. He seems to only get going in the closing stages of his races.
Yeah, well, that's a shame, isn't it? Because he is a gelding, so I don't think geldings can run in the arc, because he would be a fascinating addition to that race, wouldn't he? But he'll have to go elsewhere. The Champion Stakes does make sense after that run last year. As you say, TC, conditions marry it well. But Josh, what's your view on the whip rules and what happened? Because a 16-day ban is, towards the top end of what a jockey would get. Gerald Mosse, very experienced rider, struck the horse plenty more times than he should have done. Should he have kept the race?
It's tricky. I think TC got it perfectly right. Would the horse have won? Probably not. I'm not sure what you do without disqualifying horses, whether there's a certain amount of whips you can go over to have a ban, and then after that, or let's say it was 12 or 15, after that, then you are disqualified from the race. I really don't know how you combat it. It's something that's a bit beyond me, but definitely needs sorting out, because it is, like Tom says, it is cheating.
He is a magical horse, though, Scaletti, and although, the ethics, I suppose, of his winning the Espahan will come into equation. I don't think it will be the last we're seeing of this horse winning at the very top level.
Is he a horse that last year, with the disruption of the racing calendar due to COVID, he had plenty of racing before the Champion Stakes at Ascot? Is he a horse that has now had an early campaign, three wins on the trot, have a bit of a break, then go back there a bit fresher? Could he benefit from that?
Could well be. Jerome Rainer, he does seem like a very ambitious man, so I'm not sure if they have other targets in mind. I know he travelled, so perhaps they'll be looking to go elsewhere again. But again, the ground, he went to Hong Kong, far too quick for him out there. Finished second last to Normcore in the Hong Kong Cup. So I think they will be guided by the ground. And to be honest, you get it in France more often than not. So maybe he'd be better staying put. But that's Scaletti. Now back to the classic generation, because after this pause, we're going to get into the Oaks and the Derby at Epsom. Stick with us.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Coming up on Friday then, we have a bumper card at Epsom featuring the Coronation Cup and the Kazoo Oaks. The former is sponsored by Coral. It's over a mile and a half. It is, of course, a Group 1. And a little bit of uncertainty surrounding the final lineup. We don't know whether or not we're going to see Love, last year's champion filly. It seems unlikely by the betting, given that she's not favourite, as that's currently with Al Arzi, who's around about evens at the head of the market. Japan, 100-30. Love is 4-1. Power Driver, 8-1. 11-1 for Mogul. And 12-1, Alba Flora. In Swoop, also in there for Francis Henri Graffard, who was so close in last year's arc. Then Broom Serpentine, also entries for Aidan O'Brien. Would you be for or against Al Arzi, Josh, given what he did in the Al Rayyan Stakes last time? Do you think there's been a bit of an overreaction for this horse, or do you think he's the real middle distance star that Britain really needs at the moment?
It's hard to be against him. I think he's short enough. Like you say, Love is entered in everything at the moment. So whether she turns up here, she certainly won't be 3-1. But Al Arzi's done everything well, especially in his two starts this season. 5-6 for a race like this, like I say, I think it's pretty short. I think the one that interests me, if he goes, is Mogul. It took him a couple of runs to get going last season, and he's been renowned to be difficult to get fit. He was a good third in the Prix Guinée over probably a trip 2 furlongs shorter than his best. Maybe a step up, an extra 2 furlongs would be up his street, and he could go close. But yeah, I think Al Arzi, he was absolutely incredible last time out, and performance of that stick in the mind. And if you can repeat that here, then we really, really do have a champion.
I love the way that William Haggis talks about this horse. The trainer's got Mahafeth in the Derby, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But, you know, he's compared him to looking like Nijinsky at home and the likes. And he's really captured a lot of people's imagination. TC, this race, traditionally not always a good betting heat, can often provide small fields. Do you think it could turn out to be that way again?
Yeah, definitely. I think it'll be a small field. I think it'll be a favourite winning with Al Arzi. I love the way that William Haggis talks about him. As you say, Haggis had so many good horses over the years, hasn't he? And I don't know Haggis personally, but I would describe him as being pretty pessimistic before a race usually. But with Al Arzi, he's all over him, isn't he? So confident, thinks he's a brilliant colt. And you know what? In 2 runs this year, he's kind of proved Haggis right. He's bolted up on both occasions, barely coming off the bridle. I think the last time, although he beat a Dante winner, previous Dante winner in Thunderous, and also St. Ledger winner in Logician, I don't think the form necessarily stacked up. But I thought Thunderous was a bit slow, one pace. Logician clearly took a blow 2 furlongs out. Though the RPR at 1-2-4 was pretty impressive. He's the stayer that everyone wants to be superb, don't they? We need this star in Britain. And hopefully Al Arzi will go and justify favouritism in the Coronation Cup.
Hopefully. I'm a big In Swoop fan, as you know, if you followed sort of my thoughts on things last year. I'm not sure he'd quite be up to Al Arzi's standard, but I hope he runs, because he's a really fascinating horse and he's good fun to watch as well. We'll need a strong pace, you'd presume, over that sort of trip. And who knows if he'd handle the track. Now, who also knows what's going to happen with Santa Barbara in the Kazoo Oaks later on in the card? The Coronation Cup at 3:10 and this race at 4:30, over a mile and a half for the three-year-old fillies. Santa Barbara, as I mentioned, she heads the market at around the 9-4 mark. Such an interesting filly. We know James Stevens, who's been on these shows for the last couple of weeks, absolutely loves her and is sort of captivated by her aura almost, and the impression she gave Connections after winning on debut. Just fourth in the 1,000 guineas by Camelot, who of course won the Derby himself. Where do you stand on Santa Barbara, TC? Is she the right favourite at this stage?
No, she's won a maiden. That's it. I know she finished fourth in the 1,000 guineas, and she's clearly highly regarded by Aidan O'Brien, who certainly knows when he's got a good three-year-old filly on his hands. But I can't back her at 15 to 8, 7 to 4, whatever price she is right now, for the Oaks on the back of one maiden victory as a two-year-old. Look, she may well win this race. She has plenty of potential there. She's only had two starts. But there's big doubts. She's not proven at the level. Epsom, you know, how is she going to handle the track? I want to be opposing her. To be fair, it's not the best renewal, is it? Looking down the field, Tiona's interesting, but she's a big filly. She didn't really break very well at York last time either. I'm going to be with Zayada, I think, for Roger Varian, who's had a really good month as well. In the last 14 days, for example, he's trained 9 winners from 38, 24% strike rate. This filly was really good at 2. She beat Mystery Angel at Newmarket in a listed race, albeit on heavy ground. Over a mile, though, it showed her stamina. She quick and clear in the closing stages. And she improved dramatically at Chester on her reappearance when she looked the best horse in the race for me. She finished behind Dubai Fountain in the Cheshire Oaks. But she travelled really nicely. She tracked through Dubai Fountain, who led against the rail under a great ride by Franny Norton. How many times do we say that at Chester? But Zayada really quickened up well. She was only beaten a length. I think there's plenty of improvement in there for her. And I know she's only got a mark of 105 at the moment. Her best RPR is 107. It's probably not up to Oak standard, but this year's renewal just doesn't look that hot. And at the prices, I'd rather back her than Santa Barbara.
Mentioning prices, it's Jane Chappell-Heim again. Saffron Beach, second at Newmarket. And she's around 11 to 1 to Santa Barbara's 9 to 4. And you mentioned Zayada. Well, Dubai Fountain beat her. And she is again 12 to 1, much bigger, rated 110. But I can understand where you think that Zayada was the best filly in that race. That's clearly why she's shorter in the market. Josh, for me, as TC's touched upon, it's not a really strong Oaks, but it's definitely an interesting one with lots of different angles. I think Snowfall is the one who is solid of the ones towards the top of the market, but I wouldn't put anyone off having a bet on one of the real outsiders here. Even Technique at 100 to 1, she's proven she handles the track. Her pedigree suggests she'll stay. She's out of a See the Stars Dam, who raced over a mile in 6. And although disappointing at Lingfield, I wouldn't be surprised to see her run very well for Martin Mead. But enough from me. Who do you think is going to win this year's Oaks?
I'm convinced that me and Tom have got the same notes, because I thought the Santa Barbara, she is the potential superstar, the way that they're speaking about her. But she's just got so many questions to answer. It puts me off at the prices. I think Snowfall, so impressive in the Musadora. She is the solid horse, as you mentioned, Maddie. She may not be first string, but I think with classics, especially the Oaks, the Derby, any horse trained by Aidan O'Brien should be massively respected. You know she'll stay. She can be ridden aggressively. I think I'd have far less doubts about her than Santa Barbara. And I think Snowfall will get the job done.
I like the sound of that, Josh. I think you're at least you can sort of rely on her somewhat to produce the goods. Now, over to the Kazoo Derby on Saturday at 4:30, the Group 1, again over Epsom's a mile and a half. Now, we've had the horses who aren't going to be taking part, and there's 10 horses taken out at the 5-day stage. They are Earlswood, El Drama, Etonian, Gloucestershire, Hector de Marie, Sandhurst, Seattle Creek, Staywell, Taipan and Yabir. So all of the main horses standing their ground. I think we're just waiting on a lot of firms to reprice up the markets, but roughly we have Bolshoi Ballet around the 7-4 mark. High Definition is stablemate 5-1. Max Winnie, the Irish 2000 Guineas winner, at 7s. John Leeper at 8s. Mahafeth, who we mentioned earlier, also at 8s. Godolphin Torrican Lane at 9s. The Lingfield Derby Trial winner, Third Realm, at 12s. And 16-1 bar. Now, I'm really excited for this race. I think it's potentially one of the best derbies we'll have seen in many years. And I'm not sure I could tell you who's necessarily going to win, but I think this is a real success story for a race that needs that attention. And we need a real classic winner of the derby, I think, especially after last year, you know, mixed views on Serpentine's win, whichever way you view it. But who have you most been impressed by in the trials, TC?
I guess Bolshoi Ballet is the standout on the last victory, on his last victory. Though he was given a great ride, I thought, that day by Ryan Moore. Just travelled really nicely in behind the speed and took it up, entering the home straight. It was job done then. I think he got the run of the race that day. Max Swinney was further behind. I think Max Swinney may be able to reverse the form with Bolshoi Ballet. Bolshoi Ballet is not going to get the exact same ride and trip as he did. He's not going to get the perfect run. You never do at Epsom, especially if you're on a favourite in a derby. Something always seems to go wrong. Apart from Golden Horn, by the way, and Authorised, those wide sweeps. God, I love those. Watch the replays all the time. But Max Swinney was really impressive in the Irish 2000. He stayed on powerfully towards the line, clearly going to stay the mile four at Epsom. And also, he's just bred. He's bred to run and win at Epsom by new approach from a family that Jim Bolger does really well with. Another horse in the field that's interesting and who I would really want to back. I'm really being impressed with him, but I'm just worried about a couple of things, is John Leaper. He's just taking big step forwards on every start, but he needs to settle a lot better. He was far too keen last time at Newmarket, somehow got the job done, just shows how much ability he's got. And also whether he's going to handle the track. He hung left a little bit late at Newmarket as well. I'm a bit worried about Epsom, though I did watch Breakfast with the Stars and he seemed to canter pretty nicely. But John Leaper and Max Swinney would be the two I'd be most keen on backing, though Bolshoi Ballet, on what we've seen this year, is the horse to beat.
Yeah, I think Max Swinney's such a surprising selection from you. Wouldn't have had you down as a Max Swinney fan. Lots of the pedigrees in this year's race, horses bred for the race, the likes of John Leaper, Out of Snow Fairy, of course, a couple of Frankels in there, Mahartheth, Hurricane Lane, etc. How do you see this one playing out tactically? Because we still don't know how many Aidan O'Brien's going to run. He has Salamarak in there, as well as Kyprios, the Mediterranean, etc. Do you think one of his will go into the front as they usually do, TC?
Yeah, I mean, when doesn't Aidan O'Brien have a pacemaker in the derby? He always does. And just looking down the field, there doesn't look to be too many other horses in there that want to go forward. Lone Eagle will be up there, I imagine, for Martin Mead. But yeah, I don't know which Aidan O'Brien horse at this stage is going to go forward. I'll have a look at that in the coming days. But the likes of Salamarak, as you say, Southern Lights, the Mediterranean, Kyprios, most of those are just maiden winners. One of them's going to be the pace setter for the likes of Bolshoi Ballet. High Definition, who definitely needs a fast gallop. He's looked a bit one-paced in the Dante. Van Gogh as well probably could do with a fast pace. But I'm sure he'll have the pacemaker in the field.
We've only got to go back 12 months, though. So yeah. Up in time.
Precisely, exactly, Josh. As I was mentioning, some people loved that win last year because they thought tactically it was really interesting. Others thought it was a bit unsatisfactory, and I think I was in the latter camp. Who do you think's most well-equipped to handle Epsom and the scenario that it's going to throw up this year, Josh?
Oh, I'm not too sure. I think it looks a great renewal. I was umming and ahhing last night looking at the race and going back on all the trials. I don't have a massive opinion, if I'm completely honest. Hopefully, I can make my mind up this week. The one that I'd have a small opinion on would be Third Realm. I think that the Derby trial at Lingfield has been slightly overlooked. He did it very, very well, visually impressive. But I think that he could go close.
Okay. I want to give another quick mention to Lone Eagle because I really like this horse. A lot of people have him earmarked for a race like the St. Ledger over the longer trip. But I think especially... I mean, he might not get the soft ground that he performs extra well on, but I think he stays really well. He's uncomplicated and he's handled undulating tracks like Newmarket, like Goodwood. So I think he could run well again for Martin Mead. So maybe I need to do a massive Martin Mead double in the two classics with Technique and Lone Eagle. I do think Bolshoi Ballet will be very, very hard to beat, though. Please do get in touch with all of us and let us know who you're fancying for this weekend. It really is going to be a cracker. And that's all we have time for on today's show, I think. But before we do leave, I will give the lads their chance for their weekend or weekly, rather, naps. Tom, do you want to talk about the Belmont, presumably?
Yeah, the nap's not a Belmont, but I just want to mention the Belmont Stakes, the third leg of the Triple Crown on Saturday, run at Belmont, obviously. There's been inclement weather throughout the last 10 days. It's going to be a sloppy track, but it's going to be a great race. The best of the Triple Crown races, you've got Essential Quality in there, who finished fourth in the Kentucky Derby, the leading juvenile last year. You've got Ron Bauer, the winner of the Preakness, a real strong stayer. He's second favourite. Hot Rod Charlie, third in the Kentucky Derby, is in there. Rock Your World and Known Agenda, two other Kentucky Derby horses, and Charlie Appleby sending across Rebel's Romance, who's worked okay in New York for the last week. So it's going to be a great race, so make sure you watch that on Saturday night. And the nap comes at Kempton, my favourite track, on Wednesday in the 5:40, a 7 furlong handicap. Mr. Poi for Huey Morrison and William Buick. Only a 4-year-old gelding, Mr. Poi. He's not won a race after 6 starts, but he really caught the eye when second behind Paxos, who's in great form. Last time out, Holly Doyle switched to the inside rail, which is often unfavoured at Kempton. He made a big late run, finished second, beating half a length. he looks like a real improver over this 7 furlong trip on the all weather. Hopefully he'll be a decent price too, as he's a maiden still.
I remember backing that horse at Sandown last year in August, and he was sent off the 5-2 favourite, and he was bitterly disappointing. So I hope he's better luck for you than he was for me. Josh, take it away. Who are you most looking forward to seeing this week, barring the horse at Epsom, obviously?
Well, my nap of the week would be First Street in the bumper at Market Raisin on Friday. Summer jumps. I think he'll win.
Okay, short and sweet, why not? Best of luck with your selections this week, and we'll see you again very, very soon. Goodbye.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.